5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating crap.
Welcome to episode 252 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. And it is a glorious blue sky like I have not seen. Like, actually, I've had a number of blue skies ever since this whole Hurricane Helene came through. I've never counted so many. And Dane Wigington, man, hopefully I remember to tell you guys what I learned from him. Anyway, I talk to Dane pretty regular, but I'll come to that in a minute, hopefully, if I remember. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Handle all your preparedness needs out there. Anything you can't do, go check out Heaven's Harvest because they have an incredible stock of things that you almost certainly need. And if you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player called a SAT, well, you know what to do. Drop that SAT on a PIMP. All right, y'all. So I'm in a more of a chipper mood. A little disappointed that the Homestead Honey couldn't be in the room with me. Folks, you'll never believe the reasons why she's not here right now. I'm dead serious. Check this out. So we almost had something of an argument. We haven't had an argument in quite a while. And like so many of you out there, when we have one, it's usually kind of silly and stupid, especially when you look back at it. And usually I'm right, but we'll just kind of leave that alone right now because I know a lot of women are, he just said, what? Yeah, anyway, Yeah, the reason she's not in here right now is because she demanded. She was like, I hate this vacuum cleaner. I hate it. The one we had. And admittedly, I mean, we run things till the wheels fall off. And quite literally, one of them fell off of this vacuum. So I said, look, just go down to Target or something. Go get, and I didn't even get the words out of my mouth. And she's like, I'm done buying these things off the shelf. So I'm like, okay. What do you want? What do you need? And so she's like, okay, I'm going to do my research and I'm going to find a decent vacuum. So that's what she's doing right now. I had to unbox this thing for her. It came in through the mail. Let me see. It's Veterans Day. So they basically dropped UPS or whoever dropped it off down there. And anyway, she insisted on using this thing. And admittedly, the place... See, we don't have a whole lot of carpet in here anyway, and we're getting to the point where we have zero carpet, but it's mostly hardwood. And anyway, she's going nuts with this thing. And I got to say, you can see a massive difference. I guess it's like anything else that when you have something for a while, it's like when you drive an old car. It's all rickety until somebody else drives. You don't know how rickety it is until somebody else drives it. And or, like us, you go out there, you rent a vehicle because... We drive old vehicles, so anytime we go anywhere, if it requires a road trip, we always rent a vehicle. Number one, through the business, we can write it off, which, yeah, that's another story altogether, but we can write it off. And number two, if we have any problems, well, I mean, it's do you really want to take a vehicle with 300,000 miles on it across country? Yeah, me neither. So anyway, that's when you find out. And then when you go back and drive your old one again, you're like, okay, man, I'm missing a few things here. So that's exactly what she's doing right now. She's like, no, you go ahead and broadcast. Plus, I'm doing it a little bit early because I'm supposed to be on with the Texas boys tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. So I'm having to record early. So I don't have anything from Eric. I know that's what most of you tune in for, but I'm not going to have a download from Eric. But it is Veterans Day. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I almost want to turn my phone off on Veterans Day or anything like it, because I don't like getting text saying Happy Veterans Day. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't like getting it. Because when you, if you're somebody like me and you know the reason why we even have a Veterans Day or Armistice Day, which used to be, they changed the name. I can't believe it's escaping me right now. But whenever you have these days, the only reason we have them is pablum to the public. That's exactly what it is. Pablum to the public. It drives me crazy that we have these days to honor. It's not necessarily a day to honor the fallen. I get that. But, it always drives me crazy because I know the real history behind it. And that's not what this show is about. And if I get to talking about it, I'm probably not going to talk about anything else. And also remember, all you vets out there, when you go out there, and I know there's a lot of places, none of them I want to eat at, that are giving away free food. Look, tip your waiter or your waitress, please. I remember years ago back in Texas, and I might even did a video on this. I remember me and a bunch of other vets, we went out to eat one time. We were all working at this shop, and we all went out, and we put our money together, and we gave this girl the tip at the end of it because we all ate for free. And she literally broke down into tears right there. And I was like, what's wrong? She's like, you guys are the only ones that ever tipped me here today. I'm like, what? Okay, y'all. I mean, look, vets. Hey, I know some of you guys are a little bit broke down, but come on, man. You can scratch together a couple of bucks to give to these people that are waiting on you. So anyway, she was pretty overjoyed. So just remember to handle your waitresses and your waiters and stuff like that. In fact, I won't even go out to eat with people that don't tip. If you don't take care of the staff that are waiting on you, man, this ain't Canada where they already pay them a livable wage. I mean, yeah, that's another thing I better not get down into, but anyway, it is what it is. All right, y'all, I want to thank y'all so much right off the bat before I get too far into this. I want to thank you all for the prayers. A few shows back, man, I just felt overwhelmed beyond words. I mean, what I'm dealing with here in Western North Carolina was, it just felt so, it felt like more than I could bear. And at the time it was. And I asked all of you to pray for me. And I prayed that, you know, the Lord would open doors and create a way to where, I mean, I know how to do this stuff on a smaller scale, but to do it on this level is just felt like it was beyond me. Well, a lot of doors have opened since. I mean, doors, unexpected doors that I didn't see coming in so many different ways, as far as being able to find opportunity in places that I did not see it happening. When you have so many people out here that are literally trying to do the right thing, but it's like herding cats, and everybody has a way in which they think it ought to be done. And so, man, I've gotten some really great advice. I want to thank Alan Booker out there. I want to thank, believe it or not, man, I want to thank, good night, man, so many people. And I can't let the cat out of the bag with some of this stuff that I'm working on, but I want to give a shout out to Tag from Life Done Free, y'all. If you don't know who he is, go check him out. Go check out his YouTube channel and go subscribe and tell him I sent you, because, man, he's more than once, man, he's really come through at a pinch where I didn't see the way through something, and then he threw somebody or an opportunity or something in my way that made finding my way so much easier. So I would have never in a million years thought that I'd be getting soil advice from a former UFC world champion and a Hall of Famer. I would never in a million years have figured I'd be able to pick up this phone and call this dude and thinking, okay, this might be some kind of scam or whatever. And then in the middle of a conversation, I realized, okay, this dude really knows what he's talking about. But he's doing things, And along with, it's not just him, but it's he and his business partners and a number of others that are doing soil reclamation, I guess, to a certain extent. You could even call it remediation. They're doing it in a way that anybody trained by mainstream science, including people like myself, would recoil when you look at how things are being done. And then this weekend, I was invited. I want to give a shout out to CL for inviting me to come out and speak to her Liberty group. I don't know that I'm have liberty to actually say who they are or where they were located. But if I do get liberty to say so, I'll definitely let you know, because, man, there was a group. I was yesterday, I got to speak to a group of patriots in a room that really just, folks, you have no idea. In this place where it felt nearly impossible to find liberty-minded people, man, I'm in a whole room surrounded by these people, and every last one of them were awake. I mean, the problem with so many people, and it's also in a generation, many of them were baby boomers, and typically these are the hardest people to wake up, including members of my generation as well. I mean, just to be completely frank and honest with you. But a lot of baby boomers, man, these are some of the hardest people to get to wake up to see the realities of what's going on in this world. And they seem very comfortable within, you know, the four walls and what they believe. And man, I found myself standing in front of a group of these people, and it was the most deeply stirring thing that I've done in recent times, not because of anything I said, but to be in the company of other people who are so awake, it'll just knock your socks off. And I can't wait to be around them again. I was able to talk about what we're doing in terms of bioremediation, and the dogs were taken to the hunt, at least some of it. And man, it was just a joy. I didn't know what I was going to get into there. Half the time when I'm speaking in Asheville, man, I'm always armed. So if anybody, you know, decides to throw down on me, well, they're going to get a little firepower back. But immediately I knew right off the bat, man, when I got in this crowd, I'm like, okay, I'm at home here. I mean, these are my kinds of people. And if I get liberty to tell you who they are, I should have asked before, because I would love to give them a shout out and probably find out that there's a great deal, many more patriots running around this area that I had no idea even existed. Because by and large, I mean, you walk up and down the street here. I mean, whenever I speak into a crowd, look, I always introduce myself, and I got this. I'm always down with giving you, you know, where I get whatever inspires me, but I was inspired by Joel Salatin to come up with my own little intro. So I call myself a Christian American heterosexual pro-gun liberty-minded permaculture designer. Every time I do that, whether I'm speaking at some of these different conferences that I've been invited to, and trust me, they ain't inviting me back as soon as I started off with that, in a lot of the local places around here, as soon as I said that and I saw the smiles on the people in the faces, on the faces of the people in the audience, I knew right then and there, okay, I'm in the right spot. So, man, what a joy. What an absolute joy. So I want to thank y'all so much for your prayers, because the good Lord, I wouldn't be able to say much. I mean, just by providing his only begotten son to die for my sins and to be risen again and at his right hand is enough. But this is why I think, and I start every prayer, me and Michelle, when we pray together, you know, every single time we pray together, I start off by saying, thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things I don't deserve. And this is one of those things. So being in the company of these people was just at a time where I just kind of felt a little bit worn down, a little bit beat up. And then getting in front of these people, man, I just felt like somebody just shot adrenaline right into my arms. So what a joy. What an absolute joy. And I want to thank each and every one of those folks for the kind welcome I got there. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Anyway, other things we got going on around here. Going out there getting more wood chips. I've talked about that honey hole over at the college that's near me, and going back to doing that. Now, folks, this is the perfect time to do it. I mean it. This is where, and I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to do of it this year, but when you get into the late fall and the winter, man, that is the time when you got things that are a tangled mess or you want to gain ground and improve anything, this is the time to do it. I mean it. And why am I saying that? Because as things go dormant, this is your chance to beat back the things you don't want and to create space for the things you do want. Now, in the food forest, I'm kind of revamping, I'd say, most of it. Now I'm going to go down there. I'm going to chop and drop all the black locusts that got away from me. And that's a good thing. But also at the same time, I'm putting down so much cardboard and wood mulch that look through the fall and the winter as things unfold, it's going to be totally undisturbed. I'm saying undisturbed by me. Now, what's happening down in that soil? This is a profound value. When you lay down a bunch of carbon, especially through the winter, and you put that cardboard down first, you are now jump-starting in the most massive way, soil building like you would not believe. I mean, I'm putting every bit of probably 10 inches of wood mulch out there, so it takes a while to get anywhere, but I've gone back to doing that. I mean, with all the things that have happened, I basically had to put the brakes on everything. And slowly but surely, I'm getting myself back into the saddle. And I'm, you know, trying to get off some videos. Like I said, I'm still working on preparedness, and I'm going to keep doing that sort of thing. And I'm already losing people, probably because of the last podcast that I did live. And frankly, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if I'm down to 10 people. You know what? I'm just, like I said, I'm not looking for 100,000 a million people. I'm looking for the right people. And, I'm going to do where I feel led, and preparedness is exactly the space where I feel like I'm supposed to be talking about right now. And it does overlay with permaculture. So it's like, it's not, one's not exclusive of the other. They can definitely overlap, but yeah, going back to getting wood chips and, freeze dryer. Once again, that thing is running day and night. And if you need a Harvest Right freeze dryer, remember, we got a link down below. Go check it out. Go get yourself one or share it with somebody. But I'm going to spell out chapter and verse. Before, I've only done things on the periphery. Now I'm going to tell you the whole reasons why, because there is not anything after having done this thing for 25 years, this preparedness space. Believe me, I got some things. I don't have everything figured out. And who does? But I do have a lot of things figured out. And when it comes to food preparation and food preservation, I don't know that anybody's given any more thought to it than I have, especially when it comes to freeze drying. People just think, oh, I'll buy freeze dried food. And yeah, that's fine if that's what you got to do. Yeah, you get 25 to 30 years on it. But the way I'm doing it, I guarantee if you can find anybody, if you can buy anything off the shelf that is anywhere in the ballpark of the nutrient density that I'm putting back, let me know about it, because I promise you it does not exist, and it won't exist unless you do it at your home. So I'm going to be covering a lot more of that too. Now on to the esoteric type stuff. I think everybody at this point knows about the rain in Spain hasn't stained mainly in the plain. All right. That was My Fair Lady. Yeah. Some of you young folks got to go back and watch that old movie. It's a really good one. Anyway, yeah, Spain looking like Western North Carolina for a while there. And here's the crazy part about it. Crystal clear blue sky before. Of course, they had chemtrails. I bet money on that. And then this event happens, drops a bunch of rain, and then just like here, blue skies thereafter. Now, here's what's weird. Here's what's different. These weird boats, these ships off the coast of Spain, were just out there. They're saying they're energy generation ships, but they're not HAARP ships. And they really did a full court press on that. I wish I was doing this in a video format right now so I could show you what I'm talking about. But man, these ships don't look like anything. Look, man, I know I've been a journeyman electrician for 27 years. I think I know a little bit about power distribution. So tell me how these power distribution ships are off the coast, more than one. They don't look like any kind of power. They look like a bunch of antennas. Just like the HAARP array up in Alaska. Yeah. And they're on this ship. And all of a sudden, bam, Spain gets flattened. And then the best part about it is them out there hooting and pelting their king, which I didn't even know Spain still had, as he's walking down the sidewalk. Yeah. So keep this up. Keep this up, because people are starting to wake up. And Dane Wigington doesn't sound like a loon out here to a lot of people. And it was shocking how many people in that room yesterday knew about Dane Wigington. All right. So other news as well. This one is kind of a big one, and it really pertains, I think, also to me and honestly, a lot of you out there. Now, I'm going to preface this. I know what I said last program regarding Trump. And I said, look, if you're relying on this dude as your savior, I got news for you. You're going to be disappointed. Now, is he going to do some good things? almost certainly. That's if he even makes it to office. Remember, there's ever a slip between a cup and a lip. There's a whole lot of time, a whole lot of daylight between now and then. And will he get in there without delay? I don't know. I do. I do find it rather humorous, though, all of the women out there saying, oh, we're not going to have sex. Well, you know what? That's another answered prayer of mine. Maybe, if these women who aren't going to have sex are going to shave their head, well, maybe they won't be having abortions, okay? So maybe there's a good side to all this. So, yeah, and besides, I'm not sure who'd want to get all hugged up with y'all anyway, because you probably smell like 30 miles of swamp. So, yeah, I digress. But anyway, Trump had talked about like a 10-point plan. And if any of it actually happens, man, I, for one, will be absolutely, it will change if he actually does this. Because I'm moving from, I wouldn't call it pessimism, I'm going to call it realism. And folks, I'm not going to apologize for what I said in the last program. Here's why. Let me put it this way. Okay, as a person of color, if every single time, I made this example, I said this example when I was working at KMBZ in Kansas City. It's a talk show station, okay? And they were talking about race relations. This was back when Obama was doing things. And anyway, I was like, okay, imagine you're a person in small town Kansas. Every time you come to Kansas City, you're accosted by a black person. Every single time. How many times does this have to happen before you start to think the whole race is unfit, just based on your experience? How many times does that have to happen? Okay, let's say it's 5. Let's say it's 10. But let's say it's every single time you go to Kansas City, you are going to, and I don't think you're wrong in doing it, you are going to stereotype, I think justifiably, until you get something to prove you otherwise, you're going to think, okay, this is how they all behave? Based on your experience. Well, based on my experience with the government and with politicians and with prostitute media, everything they tell me is a freaking lie. Everything. So for me to believe any of what Trump is saying so far, yeah, it sounds great. It sounds great. But Jack, you're going to have to show me. I didn't live in Missouri. Well, I did for a time back in the Army. But I'll put it this way. I'm not from Missouri, but you're going to have to show me, Jack. But I do like what you're saying so far. I'll give you that. Because if he does what he's been talking about, as far as talking about this 10-point plan of this collusion between social media and government, which, by the way, y'all, is definitely the definition of fascism, the classical definition of fascism. That's for all you Antifa folks out there who have no idea what the definition of fascism is. It's basically the unholy alliance between corporation and state, where they're silencing people, where they're making people invisible, the whole nine yards. Yeah. If any of that happens, it would be paradigm changing. I mean, I'll give you a prime example, y'all. It is in the best interest of the powers that shouldn't be to make sure y'all don't hear what I'm saying and to make sure it doesn't get out. You know why? Because I'm about as rare as they come. I'm a brown person. I don't have a problem with person of color, but I'm not black. I'm not white. I guess I am the ultimate melting pot. I guess you could say that. But the worst thing for the system to ever see, and I said this last night in my speech, the last thing they ever want to see is somebody like me who doesn't believe the BS on the left, doesn't believe the BS on the right, who's governed by the Constitution. That is the worst nightmare. Better still, that is all about self-governance. Better still, understands the real definition of the word anarchy and is not what you've been told. It's basically the absence of government. You know, like before they had kings, remember before the Hebrews had kings, the 12 tribes of Israel had kings. That was essentially a form. I mean, they were under the judges. That's a form of anarchism. Okay. And the system sort of works it out itself. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it, but I think you get the point. The point being is if you had an open, fair commons, as these things are supposed to be, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, all the others, if you had an open, fair commons, folks, when they take the governor off of me, you'd be shocked at what my numbers look like. I mean, absolutely, positively shocked at what the numbers look like because I am so unusual. Like I said, I'm not left, I'm not right, I'm not any of those things. I'm so unusual that people tune in. And it was the same reason why I did so well on talk radio until they decided to want to try to put a muzzle on me. And then I went bouncing. But in recent times, okay, so the governor came off a little bit when this whole disaster happened in Western North Carolina. And I don't look at the numbers every day. I don't really care at the end of the day. I just know things grow. But generally, we were pulling in maybe 500 people a day, somewhere thereabout, as new subscribers, because they're like, oh, shoot, who's this guy? Where's he coming from? He doesn't talk like everybody else. It looks like him. Whoa, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, they put the brakes back on. So it shows you that there are governors on all of this. Another thing. We had, because I think it's going the other way now, we had record numbers getting into the farm space. Record numbers getting into the farm space. Okay, so you explain to me, how is it none of us that are in this space that teach permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, how is it our numbers aren't growing? And we have record numbers getting into this space, except they're going to the places where they pretend to be homesteaders, but actually they're fear-mongers. Okay, there's a bunch of homestead channels out there that used to do homesteading, and all of a sudden they became fear-mongers because they saw the algorithms favored them. Okay, I used to make fun of them in the past. I've kind of laid off lately. I probably might go back to that, but we'll see. Point of it being, if it goes down the way Trump said, he would be a fool to do otherwise. Because all of a sudden, voices like mine and yours and a number of others out there who are being suppressed are now being heard by people who don't know what to think. And all of a sudden, they start asking critical questions. When they see somebody like me talking the way I do, it wakes up more people than anything else. And folks, that's not me being boastful or anything like that. I'm just saying, I'm so unusual. Like I said, find another person that's like me, that's talking that... Find another farmer out there with my background that does what I do, speaks the way I do, and you're not going to find it. And they got to put the brakes on that. So if Trump, if you're able to do any of that, like I said, I'd be happy to eat my hat. But I want to, like I said, I'm from Missouri, Jack. You're going to have to show me. Another things. I'm back to doing. I'm going to get into it in the main topic in the show here today, but I'm back to rediscovering some of the things that worked well for me. You ever notice when you find yourself, let's say you're on a diet and it's working well. I mean, you're doing all the right things. It's working. You're seeing good results. All these things happen and you don't even know how or why, but somehow you wind up back to where you were again. Well, that hasn't happened to me because I'm something of a biohacker in terms of man, you name it. I'm out here trying to employ everything from red light therapy. I still don't have a handle on getting good sleep yet. Still working on that part, but I'm chipping away at it. Trust me. You name it, man. I talk about it on this show. But one of the things, man, that just kind of lost my, I just kind of lost my way on it, believe it or not, was meditation. I talked about how much I learned from Dr. Dispenza and how I was able to cut and paste the things that I thought that he brought to the table that were very, very beneficial to me and Michelle as well. Well, I'm not even going to kid you, folks. I mean, I feel almost a little bit embarrassed to say that I can't even tell you when it started. And I think most of us can't. When you find yourself doing something that's working well, maybe it's working so well that you forget to keep doing it. And that was one of those things, and that was the meditation. So I'm back to doing, and I found myself drifting, because if I'm not careful, I will. Okay, all of us, based on how we grew up or whatever, you may carry around baggage. Well, my family put the funk in dysfunctional, believe me. I don't talk a whole lot about it. I have on, you know, how I became the permaculture pimp daddy on that episode. I don't talk about it much because I don't like people feeling sorry for me. Yeah, it was kind of a screwed up way to grow up. And, you know, when you have two parents that are convicted felons and they don't even know how to be parents themselves and they're highly abusive, the whole nine yards, you know what? It leaves marks. But when you come from my generation in the area that I grew up from, you know, you don't show that you're hurt or troubled or whatever. Well, for me, some of these things have manifested themselves in the form of anger or impatience. And I found that I was able to dispense with all of that just through honest reflection and meditation, and frankly, a lot of prayer. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the Lord that provides everything I need. And like I said, I quit doing it. So I said, okay, even though I didn't want to do it, I made myself do 15 minutes of it the other day as I'm laying on the pulse electric magnetic field mat doing some biohacking stuff, right? So I'm laying on there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do 15 minutes worth. I'm going to see how I do. Man, I got up off of that thing feeling like I could go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with me. So I'm back to doing that. And it doesn't have to be long. It could, you know, you find yourself at work or whatever the case, or do you have 15 minutes during your 30-minute lunch period you could take and just take your shoes off. Spend 15 minutes. Here's one of the protocols I used to do, and it works like nobody's business. Take your shoes off, get grounded, even if it's cold outside. And let's say you work in an office building. Folks, just trust me on this. Go somewhere where you will not be disturbed. If you have to sit in your car, take your shoes off. Trust me, this is one of the ways I'd had to go about doing it because somebody would always be messing with me. So go get yourself a grounding mat and get the kind where you can take a little grounding probe and stick it in the ground. So you, let's say you're parked somewhere. Well, go put it on the other side where the grass is, plug it in, put the grounding mat where your feet are, take your shoes and socks off, spend 15 minutes just doing deep breathing. Don't eat first, eat afterwards. Spend 15 minutes doing that, and then eat whatever it is you have to do, then spend the remainder of that time meditating. There's even stuff out there like non-sleep deep rest. You can find that through Andrew Huberman. Very, very helpful. Where, let's say you didn't get a whole lot of sleep or you just feel run down, you'd be shocked at how you feel after doing something like that. Folks, these are things that don't cost you a dime, and I'm trying to bring as many biohacks to you that I'm working on, that I'm discovering, that don't cost anything. And that's one of them right there. I mean, our number one problem is that we are not grounded. And when you find yourself grounded, like I am in this studio right now, you find out that you're a little more lucid. You speak better. You think better. And then when you throw in there, that's why when you wake up in the morning, two things are happening. Number one, you're already dehydrated. So I talked about, hey, put some salt in some water. Like I use a half teaspoon of Celtic sea salt or Baja Gold. Put it in some water, and I drink. Before I even get out and do the chores, I usually have already drank a quart, okay? I drink hydrogen water. I drink regular water. I drink distilled water. I do it all. And number one, you got to get yourself hydrated. Also, if you do the deep breathing and get yourself some first light, I know everybody can't do the first light thing, but if you can do the deep breathing, man, that really sets the stage on how the day unfolds in so many different ways. So just consider some of those things, y'all. I didn't mean to spend so much time talking about that exclusively, but it's so doggone important because so many of you out there, I guarantee you're in the same state where you're like, okay, you were doing something, it was working well, you felt the results, and then for some reason you just go the other way. Check out Breathe with Sandy on YouTube, okay? He's not a channel they're ever going to, trust me, he's not a channel they're ever going to scrub off of there. And he's got a bunch of different breathing routines for whatever you might need. Yeah, some of it is a little bit woo-woo, but, you know, stay away from those if you don't like it. And, you know, take the right dog to the hunt. All right, y'all. So coming up here this next weekend, November 15th and 16th, we got a couple slots left if anybody's willing. We got another pig processing down there at Sow the Land. Michelle and I are going to be there. Jason, of course, and Lorraine and the baby. She's not even a baby anymore. But anyway, they're going to be down there. We're going to process another pig. This is going to be the last one I'm going to do for the foreseeable future. So if you want in, now is the time. Not only are you going to do it hands-on, and folks, you will be putting your hands on it. This ain't going to be one of those processings where you just sit here and watch me the whole time. I will literally push you beyond what you think you're able to do. And I've done it so many times that some people would probably say that I'm pretty good at it. Okay. You're going to walk out of there. Not only are you going to be able to see it three-dimensionally and do it three-dimensionally over 2 days, which is the best way to do it, because this is entirely too much information to put in one single day. I guarantee it. There's too much going on. So over 2 days, we're going to do this. First day, we're going to scald. We're going to, I'll show you maybe a little bit of skinning, not much that first day. Second day, we'll get more into that, but I'm going to show you how to gut and skin, and the method I'm going to teach you works no matter the animal. You're going to walk out of there. trust me, with my training regimen, it's going to be a call and response. You're going to do it so many times, you're going to get tired of me saying things, but I guarantee you're going to walk away, I promise you, knowing a whole lot more than you ever thought possible in a 2-day class, because I've structured it kind of like the way the military does, where there's going to be so much repetition on certain things that you're going to be like, okay, I get this. I get it. And then on the second day, I'm going to beat it in your head even more. Trust me, it's not going to be a militant type thing. It's going to be one of those things to where you're absolutely positively going to say, okay, man, I really learned how to do this. I feel like I can do it no matter the animal. Sorry, y'all, had to hit the old cough button. Anyway, that's going to be this weekend, and that's going to be the last one for probably until next year. So get this training now, because if you think you're out of the woods just because Trump got in, well, got news for you. We ain't there yet. All right, also coming up November 22nd, which just happens to be the anniversary of the assassination of Kennedy. I just realized that JFK, November 22nd, 1963, that's when he was murdered by our federal government, probably the CIA. I digress. Uncle Mud, he's a guy that's worked extensively with Paul Wheaton. He's going to be here in town in Mandala Springs. That's not far from where I live. It's going to be at the Mandala Springs Community Center, and that's November 22nd. And anybody's invited, and he's going to be, I'm not sure the extent of this class. I'm not sure how much depth. I don't know how much hands-on is going to be going on in it. But look, for all the problems that are going on right now in Western North Carolina with so many people that are in a bad way, look, it doesn't just apply to us. Think about this. Take it from me, a journeyman electrician with 27 years experience. I might know a little bit about power distribution, and I'm telling you, you want to see that meter turn on your house? Run your heat. Okay, that's back when we still had analog meters. But anyway, point being, the most inexpensive and efficient way to heat your house is with a whole house rocket mass stove. These things are so incredibly efficient, especially for all these tiny homes that they're building out here, that I don't think there exists a better alternative to get these people, all these people that are suffering, through the winter. These things are so efficient, it'll just absolutely blow your mind, and especially how little wood they require. So anyway, that's going to be November 22nd. I'm going to be there. December 1st coming up, and that's going to be in Spruce Pine. We got Chef Shane. He's going to be out there. We told you Appalachian Hat Company, but apparently that fell through. Shane's trying to find another location. If anybody in the sound of my voice anywhere near here has a location where he could post up this food truck and we could have a little impromptu gathering. I mean, folks, like, just some way for us to all just get together, not having any rock stars, no whatever, just everybody just out there hugging each other, meeting other people. And maybe for those so inclined, those who want to start working on their mutual assistance group. That's going to be December 1st. Tentatively, Spruce Pine, he's looking for another location over there. But if anybody in Burnsville or anywhere else has a place where Shane could post up his food truck, and maybe there's a, because we don't know what the weather's going to be doing this time of year, it could be cold. I don't know if it's the best place in the world to be out there for hours on end in the cold, but if somebody has a place where we could post up, where Shane could post up anyway, and we had an indoor, whether it's a church or whatever, if anybody has any ideas, by all means, email me at billy@permapasturesfarm.com. He's looking for a plan B because the people there, for some reason, are worried that, I mean, it's not, we're a biker gang, man. They're worried that we're going to be in there spilling stuff all over their products. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on exactly. But anyway, we're looking for a plan B. All right, so before I get into the good news, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. So they got everything from grounding to shielding, you name it, but the stuff you get for your bed, the stuff you get for your feet, your arms, your computer. Folks, if you only knew how many grounding mats we got around this place, it would blow your ever-loving mind, because I am not only, look, I reached out to everybody out there that sells this stuff. These were the only guys that said, or gals rather, I said, hey, yeah, test it. And if it ain't right, let us know. We'll make it right. So I tested everything. It came back hot. Everything works great. So Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right, so let's get into the good news here. And I actually got some real deal good news, and some of it's actually shocking. Walmart, believe it or not, sells some of the healthiest and freshest produce, research finds. Folks, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I read this article, but basically, a lot of grocery stores don't want your customers to know how old the produce is. And believe it or not, when Walmart, I think it was Mike Adams that actually tested some of their organic stuff, it turned out that it was actually quite good. In fact, better than Trader Joe's, better than, who's that other one? Whole Foods, Costco, Wegmans, Sprouts. I mean, it was shocking. And then there was a guy, I can't recall his name at the present moment, but he was at the Stockman Grass Farmer at Joel Salatin's place. And he was basically making his research was revealing the same exact thing. And I was like, what on earth? Well, the thing is that Walmart, their turnover is so incredibly great and they have serious labs. I mean, with all the bad you can say about Walmart, man, at least this is something good. So if you got a shop there and you get some of their organic stuff, apparently it's better than just about every single market out there. If you got to buy it off the shelf somewhere, I mean, at the end of the day, it is not even a moon cast shadow compared to what you grew in your own yard with Miracle-Gro. And I'm not exaggerating there. But anyway, if you got to go buy it up Walmart, I guess it's not all bad. So I'm calling that good news. All right, next one. MSM, or mainstream, it should be MSPM, Mainstream Prestitute Media, spears RFK Jr. after he announces plans to ban fluoride from drinking water, with Washington Post taking the lead. All right. So, yeah, you got to love an article. Folks, I don't even understand how anybody can listen to NPR or read any of these articles, and you can see the biasness. They don't even try to hide it before. There was a time years ago that they would try to hide their bias. But man, when they start off the articles like conspiracy theorist, RFK Jr., you know, when they started off that way, or I like this one, anti-vaccine activist, and they put that in quotes, referring to RFK Jr. Well, what they don't bother to tell you is that he qualifies his research as far as the vaccines and all these other things are concerned. One of the big things I'm a big fan of RFK Jr. about, I got my issues concerning, you know, other positions of his, but that ain't one of them. And I mean, there's some things where he is just absolutely stellar. Well, anyway, he's talking about how basically this fluoride is killing the IQ of children, and he's got the goods. He's got all the research on it, which is why I remember as a kid growing up, I mean, they fluoridated the water in everywhere I lived growing up, whether it was in Pennsylvania or whether it was in Oklahoma. And it was, I always felt, and in fact, when I was wearing braces in high school, my orthodontist was making me put fluoride. I had to brush my teeth like regular way, and then I had to brush with fluoride. That's what he made me do. And with the benefit of hindsight, I now realize that, man, I was being poisoned that entire time. I mean, because I always felt like I was in a fog all through that time. And then it wasn't until much later that I started to realize, okay, huh, maybe that's why. Well, anyway, I'm going to give a hat tip to RFK Jr. If for no other reason, y'all, even if he doesn't do it, or if he's unable to do it, it's at least putting a light on all these things out there that are absolutely awful. And, you know, it's just slowly but surely. I mean, remember, these are wars we don't win in miles. We win them in inches. All right. So the third one, top 10 ways to deconstruct and reconstruct an entire education system in America as top priority for incoming Trump administration. Well, first of all, get rid of the doggone. How many bureaucracies do we have in Washington right now that shouldn't even exist? Okay, we need to get rid of them. But I mean, yeah, that's my position on a lot of this stuff. But I mean, down in this article, they're basically, I'll give you the 10, and then I'm gonna bring in something at the end. Number one, end climate change, global warming, the lies and infiltrated science curriculum forever in a day. Okay, so number two, get rid of critical race theory. Basically, it's a reverse racism scam, teaching all minorities that hate everybody but that isn't white. And sadly, they got a lot of white folks thinking the same thing too. Eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion. Okay. The only place, and I've said it before, where DEI actually works is at the beginning of a compost pile. And check it out. In time, You're going to find out what rises to the top if you were to do the microbial study on it. Number four, ban gender fluidity, basically the pronouns, drag queen, story hour, and all that kind of the flurry. The man, they're putting kitty litter. I mean, man, they had people out there, these, I read a story a while ago where these janitors were like, man, they were in the school system, I don't know, 30 years, and they're like, nah, dude, I ain't cleaning out no litter boxes in the bathroom, man. Forget that. They were putting litter boxes in the bathrooms, and these people were dragging up on them. So, I mean, it would almost be funny if it weren't so doggone tragic. Improve curriculum for more inquiry-based learning and critical thinking skills. Yeah, a lot of that ought to be happening at home, but I understand a lot of folks are really busy. Promote self-esteem, self-respect, and individualism as a prime motivational tool. Yeah, I've always hated group projects. For a whole variety of reasons, is that one or two people are basically doing all of it. It usually used to be me. Reveal how social media manipulates thoughts, actions, purchases, desires. Yeah, maybe they ought to be learning a little bit about that too. And then maybe these kids would distance themselves a little bit from these phones, or at least were more aware of the fact that they're being sold something. Focus more on real world math application skills and strategies instead of 2 + 2 = 9. Yeah. Teach students how to do research outside of highly biased Google. Yeah, boy. Yeah, doing real research. You know, the problem with things like ChatGPT, and I remember telling Eric Sider this when he first told me about it, because Eric knew about this long before anybody was talking about a ChatGPT or anything like it. In a nutshell, I said, look, no kid will ever do a book report ever again. How dreadful is that? I mean, that's awful. And promote project-based learning, where students, okay, that's basically John Taylor Gatto's work, or at least a piece of it. Look, at the end of the day, if you can get your kids out of these schools, period. I'm dead serious. I mean, look at the work of John Taylor Gatto. We were more literate. We were autodidacts when we had a one-room schoolhouse. If you haven't before, checked out the Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto. Now, if you find it, you're probably going to have to double up the speed, because he had just recently had a stroke at that time. And so he speaks rather slow, so you'll have to double up the speed. But anyway, the information is about as solid as you could ever hope for. But at the end of the day, if you see these people as your enemy, as I do, a lot of these people who are teachers, now there are some good ones out there. Some of them recently have reached out to me. There are some good ones out there, but by and large, a lot of these teachers grew up under that same curriculum, and they're part of the problem. Now, would you consider that person your intellectual enemy? Absolutely. So in the words of Malcolm X, only a damn fool would allow his enemy to educate his child. Or you could do what my dad unwittingly did, was a lot of the nonsense I learned, believe it or not, we had our problems, but there were times we actually sat down and ate dinner. I actually heard an opposing point of view at the dinner table. It wasn't necessarily always dinner, but it was usually arguments or whatever regarding you name it. But I always heard opposing points of view regarding other matters, whether it was the moon landing. I mean, I was asking critical questions about that just because I heard my dad talk about it. These things that, you know, they're going to learn at school, they can, if you have to take your child, if you have to send your kid to school, maybe spend a little time instead of watching TV at night. Maybe you put on a documentary, a good documentary. Maybe start with one. I mean, good night. All of them escape me right now. But, I mean, there's some good ones out there to maybe get that kid to ask some critical questions about the world around him. That's part of what we did with William. Because, honestly, with the benefit of hindsight, if I had it to do over again, William would have never, ever stepped foot into a public school. But I didn't know. I was still very much in the matrix. When I really, really came out of the matrix, especially education, on the education side of it, I mean, he was already out of high school by then. And it was like, okay, it's too late, but guess what? Raise a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some of the same learning that I got, he got. And because we did train him, at least we got that part right. We trained him to be an autodidact, basically a self-taught person. He was able to, you know, arrive at a lot of these conclusions for himself. Like, you know what made him become a libertarian overnight? The first time he went out there and had to get a check, and then he saw what Uncle Sam took out of it. He did the very, and I didn't even warn him about it. He did the very same thing I did. I remember going out there. Remember, minimum wage was $3.15 when I was a kid. And I was roofing houses because we got paid a whopping $5.15 an hour doing that. And I remember the first time I got my check, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm already doing the math in my head of how much money I was going to have. And when I saw that check and saw how much they stole, ooh, right then and there, I was like, okay. As I got older and as I, you know, started getting into a career that makes me a lot of money, I'm sitting here looking at it and I'm like, okay, so all this overtime I'm working, I get taxed at a higher rate. How do I avoid these things? Well, it was because of living in the real world and then starting to ask critical questions about this world around me, which most people are content not to do. Well, all of a sudden, I started having a paradigm shift, and that happened in a massive way, y'all. So anyway, if you can, if at all possible, just get them out of the schools in the first place and be mindful who they're running with, because if they're spending the night at a place, I mean, you folks, you can't be too careful. You can't be too careful, especially these days. All right. I don't have anything from Eric because I recorded way too early on this, and Eric usually sends in his bit, which kind of sucks because, man, I always love responding and listening to what he says because he's full of so much and fantastic wisdom. But we'll forego Eric this week. Like I said, I got an interview with the Texas boys at about the time I would ordinarily be recording and doing it live. So EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, the number one threat to your home is definitely lightning. Okay? So if anything gets past that EMP Shield and goes downstream and blows anything up on the inside, guess what? They cover you for 25 G's. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield. They did not reach out to me. Now, is this thing inexpensive? No. Compared to any other transient voltage surge suppressor on the market, it's not even close. But you get what you pay for, folks. So it's up to you. Like I said, that's the best guarantee you're ever going to find out there for anything. And I can't even say anything comparable because there's nothing on the market like it. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield, and they were kind enough to sponsor this show. So $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, I'm going to get into the main topic here, and I'm not going to belabor it, but folks, like I said earlier when I was talking about the meditation thing. Sorry, I had to cough again. Sorry about that. There are certain business practices that have served me well, and there are some that I never will repeat again, ever. And some of them, yeah, it's been hard to come by, but believe me, they are thoroughly learned. And I want to tell you one of the metrics that I use, that I've been using for a while, and I've talked briefly about it before, but I find myself, just like with the meditation, finding myself drifting away from what I know has worked well for me. I'm going to teach you an equation today, folks, and write this down. I'm going to call it Know Your Terms, and terms is an acronym, T-E-R-M-S. And it's an acronym. Let me go through it. Okay, well, let me give you a little bit of background first. Right now, here in Western North Carolina, I have a bunch of people trying to throw money at me, and I've declined every bit of it. Number one, I got to make sure that what I'm doing is A, legally on the up and up. Number two, I got to make absolutely sure that what I'm doing is effective. And honestly, my reputation means more to me than I could even describe. I've got to know that I'm working with the very best. I got to know that I don't have any grifters. I got to know that what I'm doing is moving the needle and making a difference. I got to know that. And so I'm being courted in a lot of different ways of a bunch of different people and interests that have remediation strategies. And a lot of the people around here come from the more leftist tradition. Now, they tend to want to do things in one giant group. That is not going to work for me. I'm all about decentralization. I've been preaching it forever and a day. And if Joel gets his say at the FDA, I'm pretty sure that a lot of that's going to happen. The more decentralized, the better, because you find out these are laboratories of innovation if done properly. If things are structured properly. So I'm getting hit over here like, hey, be a part of this group or be a part of this, or we'll pay you a bunch of money. And all of which I'm saying absolutely not. So I'm creating my own group, or at least I'm part of a group of people, of a coalition of people that, first of all, whose integrity is right on point. That has got to be first and foremost. And number two, to remediate this stuff means I'm going to have to, before it's all said and done, we're going to have to raise millions of dollars to fix this. I mean, millions. It's one thing for us to raise $500,000 for all the different interests that we've done over this time, none of which I've received a single penny for, nor do I want it. I have got to be sure that if my name is on this thing, man, that it is on the up and up and everything goes right. And also, I got to make sure there are other things that you should consider. Now, let me get into this. Terms, what does it stand for? Now, folks, write this down. This will save you so much. It's an equation. And I know people get scared when you start talking mathematics, but it's not that kind of equation. Term stands for, T stands for time. When you're presented with anything, I want you to go through this. I don't care what it is. It could be, hey, let's go do whatever on the weekend, or let's go on this trip together, or let's do this, let's do that, let's start this business, let's you name it. When you think about it, you'll find all the different ways in which you can apply what I'm about to tell you right now. And I've talked briefly about it before, but I don't believe in any great detail. And plus, we have a lot of new listeners on board, but I really want you to hear this. So T in term stands for time. How much of a time commitment is this? I've already told you from the very beginning when I got on board with a lot of this stuff that I don't have the extra time. I do not have disposable time. Folks, I might have, this is no exaggeration. I probably have 30 minutes out of every day that I do where it's like, where there's time that is just for me. And you know what I spend that time usually doing? I kid you not. It's usually education. Something I'm fascinated about. Something I want to know more about. Things about me that maybe you don't know. That maybe I'm like, okay, I don't know enough about this. I want to go find out. That's what I spend maybe 30 minutes a day doing. Okay, so your time commitment. E stands for energy. Okay, you only have so much in that well. How much do you have to devote to whatever it is somebody's trying to rope you into doing? R stands for resources. Do you have some that are already there? If you're involved with other people, you got to ask yourself, what are the resources they're bringing to the table? And this is that area where you had better be looking out for the hidden things that maybe, this is why I asked y'all to pray for me in terms of wisdom and discernment. Because these resources, somebody may talk a big game, and I fell prey to that not long ago. I won't go into any details about it, but we were involved, Michelle and I, with something, and people were claiming they brought certain resources to the table. And then when we got down to brass tacks, it turned out to be more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. M stands for money. Well, I think that goes without saying, okay? How much money are you going to put down on this? Does it require money? Are you going to have to source the money? Like in the case of this remediation, I don't have millions of dollars, okay? Not that I can spend on this. So that's something obviously you got to consider. And I'm going to tell you the part that is the most consequential when it comes to me in this equation, and it's the S, terms. It's plural, T-E-R-M-S. And that stands for sanity. How much am I going to want to put my head through a wall because I've decided to work with the wrong people? How much am I going to be losing sleep at night because I'm absolutely frustrated because the T-E-R-M was misaligned? So your sanity has got to be, when you engage in anything, whether it's like, hey, you want to go here this weekend? Okay, somebody says, hey, you want to go to Europe? Okay, how long are we talking about? Okay, a week. Okay, can I do it? Yeah, no. Energy. Yeah, it's going to require something, but when you get down to the sanity part, are these people going to drive you crazy? Now, I define terms. Now, if that side of the equation, now I want you to put greater than, you know, remember the less than, greater than signs? You got equals, less than, greater than. I want you to put on that side where T-E-R-M-S is, put a greater than sign aimed the greater side pointed toward terms. The less than on that side of the equation, you got ROI, which is return on investment. So for the TERMS, for the time, energy, resources, money, and sanity, what return on investment can I expect to make? And is it worth it? Now, here's why I said it's an equation. So the return on investment plus FV, which I'm going to say future value, plus PG, which stands for potential growth, plus lifestyle. If the return on investment, future value, potential growth, and lifestyle, if it doesn't, well, if these things don't, if they don't add up, you got a problem, nephew. Now, is this the end all be all? Well, for me, it is. Because if these, if that equation doesn't, if it doesn't balance out, if my return on, I'll put it, I'm sorry, I told you the opposite. Your less than side should be aimed towards the terms. The greater than should be the return on investment. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, if I don't get a, if my return on investment plus the future value plus the potential growth of whatever it is, and it could be business or mental growth or physical growth, whatever the case may be, and lifestyle, if that is not greater than the terms involved, then the answer is an absolute no. Every time I don't do this, I wind up wanting to pull my hair out. Every single time. Folks, I didn't want to go to a long, drawn out, you know, it's Veterans Day. You know, I kind of wanted to keep it slick and to the point. Sorry. Still battling a cold here, y'all. I wanted to get it just down and dirty and to the point. Folks, think about it. If the time, energy, resources, money, and sanity is not less than the return on investment, the future value, the potential growth, and the lifestyle. And I want to give a hat to Ed Milet for teaching me this. Because a lot of you may not listen to him or any of the information he provides. You should. Ever since I started employing that in my life, and every time I do, I am so thankful. You have no idea. And then you could put a numerical value to all that if you'd like. And if you don't see, if there isn't a upside to what I'm doing, then the answer is no. Now, in this particular area, as it applies to me here in Western North Carolina, look, I'm a farmer. I'm a permaculture farmer. So that means I'm going to require an earth, preferably one that's clean. And so for me to get mixed up in what I'm doing right now where I don't have the time, because frankly, in our other businesses, y'all, we're losing our shirts. But I'm thinking, okay, is my involvement in all of this, you know, it's not from a financial standpoint, but I've got to have, everybody's out here chasing their tails right now. And I got to make sure that what I'm doing is effective. And honestly, if I'm going to ask people to ultimately donate to be able to make this happen, I better have something to show for it. You see where I'm going with this? I mean, I owe $20,000 right now just for the testing. And the reason why that's so expensive, the soil and the water testing, the reason why that's so doggone expensive is because we don't have any forthcoming information. So we have to test for everything right out of the gates. And then so the testing in future samples will be less expensive because now we'll know what to target. So instead of being $2,500 a sample, it's going to be considerably less. So that's also something to consider. But look, y'all, when we get down to brass tacks on all of this, this is exactly why this is a profound value to me. Because I'm taking on something else that I didn't have room for, but it seems like Randy, Jason, and so the land, Randy's his father-in-law, and man, he's just a fantastic man, incredible advisor. Every time I'm around him, I learn something profound. And he's like, you know what? If this is meant to be, man, the Lord's going to open up the doors. And it seems like, okay, despite my reluctance, I mean, I'm almost kind of at the first, like being like Jonah, like, okay, somebody will handle this. Somebody will step up. Well, turns out, I guess I'm going to have to be that guy, or our group is going to have to be those guys and gals. And that's where we are. So at the end of the day, what does it all mean? It means, you know what? In this particular case, the return on my investment means a cleaner environment. That holds greater weight. The future value doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. Potential growth, that means a lot to me because I want to see it evangelized. I want to see other people doing it. The lifestyle, obviously, that means something to me too. But I'm going to be putting in a whole lot in terms of time, energy, resources, money, and sanity because I know I'm going to be beating my head against a wall. But that return on investment, that alone, not only for me, but my posterity as well, and yours too, that live in this region or other regions that may be affected by future man-made disasters, because that's exactly what I think this was. Also, I'm thinking about all these old boys that lived up in these mountains for going on seven generations or whatever, and they don't have water to drink. They don't have soil they can grow anything in. They're being told, yeah, we'll give you $17,000 for this piece of land that we know is worth $2 million. And they're seriously considering these offers right now. Maybe if we come up with a way, and we're working on it right now, we got a whole team of people doing it. If we can come up with a way to remediate this place and these people get to keep their land, you think that's worth it? You think it's worth all the headaches I'm going to go through? I think it is. We all use this. Next time anybody invites you to do anything, just try it out. Next time anybody asks you, hey, can you help me move this weekend? Yeah. It's not always how you benefit necessarily. This is more of a social and a business arrangements, you know, type things. But some things you're going to do, altruistic things out there where you can expect none of these things except for, you know, personal growth. And sometimes that might just be enough. All right, y'all. Hopefully this was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive. I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell. They wanna spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior.